fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Tremendous Thursday to you. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call to talk to me, toll free. The email address, cale@relevantradio.com, C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com. And you can also hit me up on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. The show account is the at Cale Clark Show handle. And once again, the phone number, 888-914-9149. You know, I was going to start off talking about something completely different, but then I realized sometime this afternoon that tonight is actually the Field of Dreams game in Major League Baseball. That's right, in 1 hour from now, right after the show. So this is the perfect pregame for you. At 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern, the Chicago White Sox are taking on the New York Yankees at the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa, where they filmed the iconic 1989 film Field of Dreams. I want to talk a little bit about the spirituality of that film, because it's a classic film. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. I'll try not to give too many spoilers, but there are some deep spiritual themes in that movie. And it's about, even if you don't like baseball, it's about way, way more than baseball. It's about God. It's about fathers and children. It's about regret. It's about atonement. It's about longing. It's about second chances. It's about hope. It's about faith. Even when all the odds seem stacked against you, when everything seems lost, especially when things seem lost. Here's a clip from Fox. Now, Fox is going to be showing the game tonight, so that's a channel you want to go to. Here's a clip about the anniversary of the Field of Dreams movie. It's the 32nd anniversary of the film this year, and what's going to be happening with this Field of Dreams game. Check this out.
Every element of Field of Dreams, if you tried to reconstruct it, it would never happen.
Field of Dreams is a risk.
Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
People didn't really want me to do this movie.
Son!
So what?
None of it makes sense, but it works. And now Major League Baseball is gonna come and play a game in Iowa for the first time ever. It's amazing to think what's actually happening.
If that's not life imitating art, I don't know what is.
You can't script baseball, but you can sure script a really beautiful story about a father and son, which is the movie we're celebrating with Field of Dreams.
If you build it, he will come.
That's right. If you build it, he will come. Now, it's often misquoted as if you build it, they will come, because a bunch of people do eventually show up, but that's another story. Well, the sports writer Bill Simmons once said that the world is made up of two different kinds of people. On one hand, people who love the movie Field of Dreams, and on the other hand, people who don't have a heart. And I think that's true. And here's another good quote that applies to the movie. Even though she wasn't writing about it, to be sure, St. Catherine of Siena once said this: all the way to heaven is heaven. That's an interesting quote. All the way to heaven is heaven. Well, what on earth is that about? How does it apply to the Field of Dreams movie? And once again, tonight there will be an actual, it counts in the standings, Major League Baseball game taking place at the Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa, where they filmed this movie. So, and let me tell you a little bit about the movie and what the spiritual themes are in this film. Read a great piece on this that came out a while back by Dr. David King. Now, Dr. David King is an English professor, and he also teaches film studies at Kennesaw State University. And he also works at a parish, and he does adult religious education, so that's kind of cool. So he's an educator, and he wrote about this movie for the Georgia Bulletin, actually. And he said, really, like, Field of Dreams is kind of misunderstood, just like the famous poem by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken, which and this was news to me because I've been misreading this poem, apparently. You know that famous line at the end of the poem? I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Well, apparently, most people misread that, including me, as a tribute to individualism, nonconformity, kind of going down a blazing a trail. But apparently, it's actually a lament for what might have been. That line, I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. So I have to do some more research on this. But David King also comments on Field of Dreams. And this line, if you build it, he will come, which is narrated by, in the movie, The Voice. And if you actually look at the credits of the film, nobody knows who actually plays The Voice. It doesn't say who the voice of The Voice is. But I did read a little article. It was called 22 Facts You Didn't Know About Field of Dreams. And apparently, The Voice is the voice of actor Ed Harris, who actually, in real life, is married to the lady who played Kevin Costner's wife in the film. So anyways, that's a little bit of trivia for you there. But this line, if you build it, he will come, which has kind of been, you know, it's part of the zeitgeist of the culture. And it's sort of taken as this acknowledgement on self-reliance. And good things are going to happen. If you build it, he will come. And that seems like a very American thing to say. It's often taken out of context. And Field of Dreams, though, it deserves better, according to David King. So it's not just a sweet and simple film about the power of dreams, the human spirit. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the plot of the movie if you've never seen it. I'll try to keep it as spoiler-free as possible. But the movie Field of Dreams actually has a great theological perspective. And David King suggests that it's actually about purgatory, the mystery of purgatory. So just to tell you a little bit about the background, the 1989 film Field of Dreams is actually based on a novel that came out in 1982 by W.P. Kinsella, the Canadian writer W.P. Kinsella, I might say, oh, Canada. And the movie is called, or sorry, the book was called Shoeless Joe, and it's about Shoeless Joe Jackson, who very famously was among the 8 players on the Chicago White Sox who were permanently banned from baseball for their role in throwing the 1919 World Series. And there's a movie made about that too called 8 Men Out. You might recall that one. By the way, why was he called Shoeless Joe? Joe Jackson, because one time during his early baseball career, he had all these blisters on his feet and they were killing him. His cleats were killing him, so he just took them off and played the game barefoot. So crowd was heckling him for it. That's where he got the nickname. So W.P. Kinsella, when he was writing the book Shoeless Joe, which eventually became the movie, now he did not have a supernatural worldview at all. In fact, he said, this is a quote from him, I have to disappoint fans by telling them that I do not believe in the magic I write about. Though my characters hear voices, I do not. There are no gods, there is no magic. I may be a wizard, though, for it takes a wizard to know there are none. End of quote. So that's a quote from W.P. Kinsella. So that's a pretty bleak outlook. But this is one of the many reasons why the movie is actually much better than the book, according to David King. And everything just works about this film. It's just, and Kevin Costner, when he was approached to do the film, the producers were actually afraid he would say no because he had just done a baseball movie, Bull Durham. Remember that one with Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins? They eventually got married. Anyways, another bit of trivia there. But they were like, oh, he just did a baseball movie. He's not going to want to do this. But he was like, when he read the script, he's like, I'm totally doing this movie. This could be our generation's version of It's a Wonderful Life. And it's pretty close to that. So it's a great, everything just works. The cast, the crew, James Earl Jones is in this movie. It's just awesome in every way. So again, David King thinks that the spiritual kind of tapestry that's weaved throughout the film, Field of Dreams, is purgatory. And he says, you know, purgatory, you know, it's the church is constantly talking, especially during the papacy of Pope Francis, about mercy, about how important mercy is. Evangelism, the church has to stop being like that bent over woman in the gospel, and Pope Francis talked about that at the beginning of his pontificate. The church has become kind of navel gazing. We need to do more evangelism, need to go out to the periphery. Okay. He talks a lot about mercy and being missionaries of mercy. Well, David King said purgatory is something that's often overlooked during these times, but purgatory has a lot to do with mercy because it has a lot to do with hope. And remember, everybody in purgatory is going to heaven. This is not a second chance. after death. We're going to talk more about purgatory tomorrow on the Faith Explained program, so check that out at 12:30 Central. We're going to mention that. But purgatory is not a second chance after death. Everybody who's in purgatory is going to heaven. It's the mudroom of heaven. This is where we kind of get cleaned up. We die in God's friendship, but we haven't become perfectly holy, perfectly sanctified yet. Now, some great saints, I believe they do skip right over purgatory. But most of us, well, yeah, hopefully not, but you never know. Some people undergo a lot of suffering in this world, and they're purified before they leave this world. But baseball has a lot to do with purgatory, too. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But so what is purgatory? Well, the Catholic Encyclopedia says the souls of those who have died in the state of grace, that is, they're in God's friendship, they're in a state of grace, they're not in a state of mortal sin or unconfessed mortal sin. The souls who have died in the state of grace suffer for a time. Now, I have a bit of an issue with this. Suffer for a time in purgatory, a purging that prepares them to enter heaven and appear in the presence of the beatific vision. Now, I have no problem with the second part, but there's no such thing as time in purgatory, strictly speaking. I know we talk about that a lot. I know we talk about, hey, you know, that guy's going to have to spend 100 years in purgatory or whatever. Well, it's kind of an unhelpful way of looking at it in a certain sense, because purgatory is outside of time. Purgatory is outside of time. And that's why the baseball theme of the Field of Dreams movie is actually appropriate, because in baseball, it's one of the few sports where there's no clock. The game's over. It's over when it's over. An inning could seemingly last forever, especially if you're not a baseball fan. So this is a great analogy. There is no clock. That's not how this thing works. When the purging is over, then it's over. So it goes on to say in the Catholic Encyclopedia, the final testing of one's faith is not a punishment, but one of response. That's another way to describe purgatory. So does it involve some suffering? Yeah, because you're sort of letting go of all the things that tie you down to this world. And so the final testing of one's faith is not a punishment, but one of response. So it's letting go and grabbing on to God. So at any rate, that's what the Catholic Encyclopedia says about purgatory. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. Getting set up for the Field of Dreams game tonight on Fox, coming up in less than an hour between the Chicago White Sox and the New York Yankees. But obviously that is taking place where they filmed the movie Field of Dreams in Dyersville, Iowa, in the middle of a cornfield. So cool. We're talking about the spiritual impact of the film Field of Dreams. Now, let me just lay out the plot of the film, just so you know what it's all about, in case you don't. It revolves around the main character played by Kevin Costner, and his name is Ray Kinsella. Now, he's an Iowa farmer, he's happily married, and his dad, Ray Kinsella's dad, actually played a little baseball growing up, and he taught his son a love of the game. But Ray Kinsella rebels, and in college he is swept up in the 1960s radical fervor of the age, you know, the age of Aquarius, all that sort of stuff, Woodstock. So he rebels, and this results in Ray and his father becoming very estranged. Ray's father dies without ever being reconciled to his son. Now, one evening, now again, he's an Iowa farmer at this point, he's out in the cornfield, and Ray hears this strange voice that says, if you build it, he will come. And we heard that in the clip, the trailer clip, at the beginning of the show. If you build it, he will come. Well, what on earth does this mean? Well, as time goes on, Ray is given a series of visions that convince him to do something that makes no sense from a human point of view. He should plow under his cornfield, get rid of it, build a baseball diamond, and await the return of all people, Shoeless Joe Jackson. So Ray is like, I don't know what this means, but he actually goes ahead and does it, which is really kind of an act of faith in a certain sense. The field is built, it's gorgeous, and what do you know? Shoeless Joe Jackson emerges from the cornfield in the outfield, and he's there to play. But that's only the beginning. Next, the voice tells Ray Kinsella he's got to do something else. He has to, quote, ease his pain. Now, you might remember this. The voice says, if you've seen the film, ease his pain. So what does he do? He then goes to Boston and he kidnaps the writer, Terrence Mann. Now, Terrence Mann is not a real character. Okay, he's a made-up character, and that's the character that's played by James Earl Jones in the movie. Now, who the Terrence Mann character is actually based on is J.D. Salinger, the author who wrote the book The Catcher in the Rye. Now, J.D. Salinger is in the original Shoeless Joe book by W.P. Kinsella that the movie is based on. Okay, so hopefully that's not too confusing. But actually, J.D. Salinger's estate was really, really unhappy that he was even mentioned in the book by name. And he was like, listen, I can't believe that you put me in the book, W.P. Kinsella. I'm outraged that you used my name. And he kind of made me look like I've got issues in the book. I hope this doesn't show up in any other kinds of media. So there's kind of a little threat there from the legal team. So when they made the Field of Dreams movie, they said, okay, we're not going to actually call him J.D. Salinger. We're going to make up a name. We're going to make up a fake name of a fake author, Terrence Mann. So anyway, so in the movie, Ray kidnaps Terrence Mann, takes him to a Red Sox game at Fenway Park. While they're at the ball game, they see a message on the Jumbotron in the outfield saying to go search for this guy named Moonlight Graham. Now, Moonlight Graham in real life is a real character. That's a real historical person. Archie Moonlight Graham. He played in exactly one Major League Baseball game, but he never got a chance to hit. Then they get another message from the voice that says, go the distance. Go the distance. So Ray and Terrence Mann, they actually find Moonlight Graham, who, as it turns out, retired from baseball to become a small-town doctor. So they find this guy. The next day, they travel back to Iowa, and they pick up another guy, a hitchhiker, a young ball player whose name is Archie Graham. Anyway, so they get back to the farm, and the local bank thinks Ray has gone nuts, plowing his cornfield, turning it into a baseball field. The bank tries to foreclose on the farm. And that's when Shoeless Joe and a whole bunch of other former Major League Baseball players show up in the cornfield, including someone who turns out to be Ray Kinsella's father. Moonlight gets a chance. And by the way, this is when James Earl Jones in the movie, playing the writer Terrence Mann, gives the most compelling speech in the film. Here it is. Check it out.
Ray, people will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have and peace they like.
Ray, just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they'd dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
All right, that was the great speech by Terrence Mann in the movie Field of Dreams, played by James Earl Jones. Wow, what a voice, hey? Man, if ever that guy had a, if ever there was a person with a radio voice, that's the guy. James Earl Jones, if you need him. So again, beautiful, beautiful speech. You know, memory's so thick you can just wipe them away from in front of your face with your hand. That's amazing. So what does this all have to do with purgatory? We're going to tell you after this break on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You put me in, Coach. I'm ready to play. Center field. All right. We're talking about the Field of Dreams movie because in less than an hour, at the top of the hour, Major League Baseball is going to be in the cornfield in Iowa where the Field of Dreams movie was filmed. It's going to be a real game in the midst of the cornfield between the Chicago White Sox and the New York Yankees. The Chicago White Sox and, of course, Shoeless Joe Jackson played for the White Sox. He figures prominently in the movie. And by the way, they were actually going to call the movie Field of Dreams Shoeless Joe because it's based on the book Shoeless Joe by W.P. Kinsella. But test audiences hated the name. They're like, well, it sounds like a movie about a hobo, Shoeless Joe. And so they decided to call it Field of Dreams. And they were really worried that W.P. Kinsella would be upset by this, the author of the book. So when they let him know, he was actually anything but upset. He said, actually, I think that's pretty cool because I actually wanted to call the book originally Dream Field. But they said, no, call it Shoeless Joe. So hey, Field of Dreams, close enough, works for me. So it's really a movie about purgatory, according to the writer David King. So I want to talk a little bit more about that and the spiritual aspects of the film. Producer Lucas, you wanted to tell me something?
Yeah, Cale.
You're here.
Well, it turns out that you're facing some opposition to this theory. Yeah.
It's impossible.
Sister Helena Burns, a friend of the program, she tweeted, dude, there is no deep spirituality in baseball, only hockey. So.
Only hockey, yep,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then it was funny because somebody then commented on what she said in response to you saying, it takes deep faith to be a Leafs fan, let me tell you.
I can attest to that. I can attest to that. Hey, but if it's good enough for Justin Bieber, it's good enough for me, right?
So there you go.
And that's why Lucas likes the Leafs. It's not because of me. It's because he's a big Bieber fan.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
But Sister Helena Burns, also known as Hell Burns, colloquially, thanks for that. And she's a great gal, a super media nun, one of the daughters of St. Paul, and a big sports fan, big hockey fan. Yeah, I do think, I will disagree with you, sister. Of course, I love my hockey too, but baseball is a pretty spiritual sport. Now, we already talked about the fact that baseball is like purgatory because there's no time. It's outside of time, just like purgatory. And also, there's an emphasis in the film on atonement because every character in the movie is atoning for something. Shoeless Joe, of course, is atoning for his suspected role in the 1919 Black Sox scandal, where the White Sox allegedly threw the World Series, a gambling conspiracy. Terrence Mann, the writer Terrence Mann, which is based upon J.D. Salinger, he is trying to atone for his resentment, his remorse. Moonlight Graham, who is a real historical person, is sort of trying to atone for denying the hope of having a second chance. And Ray Kinsella, played by Kevin Costner, and his father. They were estranged earlier in life, and they're trying to atone for that. And there is mercy given to all these people. Shoeless Joe, all the other ballplayers from the 1919 scandal, they get to play the game that they love once again. Terrence Mann, the writer, once again has the chance to become the writer and the philosopher that he always dreamed of being. Moonlight Graham, who left baseball to become a doctor, he gets to not only play on the Field of Dreams, just like he always dreamed about. Gets to go to bat. He played one major league game, never got to bat. Well, he gets to bat on the Field of Dreams, and he also gets to practice medicine again. I won't tell you what happens there. That'd be a major spoiler. And Ray Kinsella and his dad are reconciled, and that's a heartwarming moment. It's a tear-jerking moment. And again, I will say, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about, but producer Lucas has not seen it. Shame on him. That's his homework for tonight. And again, the writer David King says this is all really about purgatory, because if you look at Dante's Divine Comedy, and this is very famous, in Dante's Divine Comedy, all the souls in hell, they know that they are lost forever. In fact, when they enter the place, there's a big sign up front saying, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. There is no hope." But in purgatory, everyone who's in purgatory, they know that they will be saved. It's just a question of, you know, how much purifying they're going to have to undergo. They suffer from this unrequited desire. They desire God, you know, and all the things that they're looking for that they have to let go of to get to the real joy. They have this sort of unrequited desire for God. And on more than one occasion in the film, someone will say, "Is this heaven? Is this heaven?" This is a very famous line from the film. And Ray says, Ray Kinsella, played by Costner, he says, "No, this isn't heaven. It's Iowa." So he doesn't say, "Okay, this is it. This is heaven. Yes, you've arrived." No. It's Iowa. It might be close to heaven, but we're not quite there yet. And David King talks about the poet Keats, who wrote that heard melodies we can actually hear, are very sweet, but those that are unheard are even sweeter. Think about the music that we enjoy on earth. Well, the music of heaven is going to be something we can't even imagine, how beautiful it is. And St. Paul writes about this in the New Testament. "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it even entered into the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him." So we can't even conceive it. But interestingly enough, there's been a lot of research done on near-death experiences. And a lot of people say, "Man, like when my soul was out of my body, before the doctors brought me back, I saw these incredible colors that I'd never seen before. I heard music that was so beautiful. I've never heard anything like it, and I never will again." Kind of interesting to think about. So heaven is obviously much sweeter. So the Iowa cornfield, the Field of Dreams in the movie, it's amazing, but you're not quite there yet. They're getting ready for something even better. A joy that will never end. St. Paul also says this in the New Testament: "Now we see through a glass darkly, then we will see face to face. Now we know in part, then we will know even as we are fully known." And David King says this is the essence of purgatory. It's also the essence of Field of Dreams. So, okay, now if you haven't seen the film, I'm going to drop a couple huge spoilers. Okay, so major spoiler alert. So Lucas, producer Lucas, I know you have to operate the soundboard here, but plug your ears for this, okay? There's two, so you can call in now. He's not listening. There are two wonderful moments near the end of the film, Field of Dreams, where the living and the dead actually connect. In one scene, Moonlight Graham leaves the field, chooses to leave the field so that he can once again assume his role as a doctor to save someone's life. The other moment is when the writer Terrence Mann is invited to go into the cornfield. He's invited by the voice to go into the cornfield. And when you kind of disappear into the cornfield in the outfield, that's kind of like going to heaven. So, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to do it. And he disappears and he's gone. That's it. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be." So Jesus is preparing an eternal dwelling for us, you know, not through the cornfield. We don't have to pass through the corn, but we do have to pass through the veil of this life, this veil of tears. And we do need to pray. We have to be reminded to pray for the holy souls in purgatory. This is, you know, if that's what it's about, And I'm sure people would disagree with the writer Dr. David King, but he thinks that this movie is about purgatory. So I would encourage you to check it out. It's an awesome film. It works on so many levels. It's just a classic. Even if you hate baseball, I think you'll like this movie. And I do like baseball, and I'm super, super stoked to see the Field of Dreams game happening tonight on Fox at the top of the hour. But we still have a lot to get through on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. If you want to call in, if you want to react to any of this, you can call in 1-888-914-9149. We will be right back with a story that you're not going to want to miss, because this has to do with your future and taking care of what's upstairs. What am I talking about? You'll find out after this.
Your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It is, as Julie just said, the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, and I'm Cale Clark. 1-888-914-9149. And hey, one thing that we talk about a lot on this program, the Archbishop of the city I live in, Cardinal Thomas Collins, Archbishop of Toronto, he often talks about, really, his whole ministry is based on stewardship. You know, we want to hear those words from our Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant. And we have to be stewards of three things in particular: our time, our talents, we all have some, and our treasure. And one of the treasures that we have, which we don't often think about as a treasure, is our very human bodies. They do have a future. This is how we worship God in the present. We've talked about this before. What's true spirituality? It's offering your body as a living sacrifice. That's what St. Paul says. We believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. So our bodies have a future, and we got to take care of them now. It's part of how we glorify God. Part of your body, obviously, is your brain. And mental health is a big thing, but also just brain health in particular, because one thing that scientists are starting to learn a lot more about is what causes Alzheimer's, how we can maybe stave off dementia, and obviously that's a big problem with our elderly. And there's some things that we can do now, and it's never too soon to take some preventative steps to keep this from happening. And sometimes I think, and you know, I'm just, hopefully that's not the case, but you never know. Sometimes I think, man, maybe I have early onset Alzheimer's because I'm having a lot of brain farts. I'm forgetting little things from, you know, here and there. I'm searching for a word and I can't seem to find it. And maybe I have it. I don't know. But it could also be caused by excess stress or lack of sleep or a poor diet, not exercising as much as I should. There are a million things that could be causing it. But some people do have what they call early onset Alzheimer's. Seems to have a genetic component, and it can begin to show up when you're in your 30s. So I just saw this article that was on the Medium website by Robert Roy Britt, and he talked about, it was actually a really hopeful article about how you can stave off dementia, possibly Alzheimer's. Because there's things that you can do, no matter how young you are, even if you're like, if you have kids, you can even start with your kids to prevent this from happening. It's not inevitable. It's not inevitable. There have been a lot of recent studies that strengthen the case that you can prevent this. This is good news. This is really good news. And Walter Willett, who's a doctor, a professor of epidemiology and nutrition at Harvard, he says, the underlying process related to cognitive decline starts in early adult life and probably even earlier. So we can't start too soon when it comes to trying to prevent this, because it can start really, really early in life, cognitive decline. I don't know about you, but I need all the brain cells I can get. I don't have too many left. So for reasons that we really don't know much about, it's still very mysterious. The brain is still an incredibly complex supercomputer, really. Brain cells sometimes stop working, And scientists really don't know why in a lot of cases. Connections between different parts of the brain, they get weak. That can lead to your memory slipping. It can lead to poor cognitive ability, poor thinking ability. And a lot of this is at the root of dementia. It's a loss of memory. Obviously, it's a loss of the ability to think clearly. Now, there is one kind of dementia called vascular dementia, and that comes about in particular because someone has had a stroke or some other kind of event where blood flow has been restricted to the brain. So vascular, obviously having to do with blood vessels, that's called vascular dementia. But apparently dementia in general is not considered a normal part of getting older. So just because you're getting older doesn't mean that you're eventually doomed to have this happen to you. There's some things you could do to prevent it. And apparently, and I have to read some more on this because this sounds super intriguing. And I do mean super because there are so-called super agers. I don't know if you've heard about super agers, but these are people in their 60s and even older in some cases whose brains look and function just like the brains of people in their 20s. Wow, I want some of this. I want my brain to stay elastic, and so I have to read more about super agers and what they're doing, how they have 20-something brains. But for a lot of other people, they're not super agers, and dementia can start really, really early in life. Now, when you have Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common type of dementia, signs of this typically start to appear when you're in your mid-60s. There are more than 6.2 million Americans who are over 65 who have Alzheimer's. And there are more than 50 million people globally who have it. But again, people start sort of showing signs in their 60s, but the gradual accumulation of damage in your brain, which leads to this, again, it's thought to begin at least 10 years before this, or maybe even earlier. So here's some potential causes. First of all, there's no cure for this. There's no cure right now for Alzheimer's or any other form of dementia. Heredity is a big, it's big time at play, but it doesn't entirely determine it. So if you've had parents or grandparents who've had dementia, that could be a risk factor for you, but not, it doesn't mean that you'll automatically get this. About a third, scientists right now think that about a third of all dementia cases could potentially be prevented by improving various health, lifestyle, and social risk factors that are in your control. You can actually do something about it. So if it's a total, if you have this vascular dementia, you've had a stroke or something, there's maybe nothing you can do about that. If you've got like major hereditary factors, sometimes you can't stop that. But there are some other things that you can do. So here are the things that you can do. Here are the things you can do. And I need to know this. So hopefully this is helpful to you as well. These are called modifiable risk factors for dementia. Things you have some control over. Hypertension, physical inactivity, diabetes, obesity, something called hyperlipidemia. Hyperlipidemia. When I heard about hyperlipidemia, I thought that was when somebody talks too much. Hyperlipidemia, he's got a lot of lip. All right, a little joke there. But that's not what it is, obviously. Hyperlipidemia is actually having high levels of blood fats. Okay, so there's something you can do about this. You can change your diet. Bad diet, smoking, social isolation. We have to fight against loneliness. That can be a factor. Excessive use of alcohol. And both of these things were up big time during the pandemic, by the way. Social isolation and excessive drinking. Sleep disorders. Hearing loss. Okay, so there's some things that we can do. There's some factors here we obviously have some control over. Dr. Deborah Levine, who works at the University of Michigan Health, she says this, dementia is not inevitable. Evidence is growing that people can better maintain their brain health and prevent dementia by following healthy behaviors and controlling some of the vascular risk factors. So remember when I said that some people, they have this vascular dementia, they have a stroke or something that causes dementia? Well, you can actually have a less chance of having this happen to you by taking care of your blood vessels. Maybe you're not so much fat in your blood vessels. So there you go. There you go. So there's some things that you can do to lessen the risk. You can increase your physical activity. And it doesn't mean that you have to start running a marathon, okay? Even just taking a brisk daily walk. that has been shown to promote better overall physical and mental health. So walk the dog, you know, just go for a quick jaunt around the block, you know, kind of build it up over time. That can also help you improve your sleep. And one of the reasons the scientists think that people get dementia is their sleep is off over time. Poor health in middle age more than doubles your risk of getting dementia later in life. So again, that's usually caused by poor diet, high blood pressure, and lack of exercise. They did one study where adults who are kind of couch potatoes, they're pretty sedentary, they started a 6-month exercise program, and then they took some cognitive tests. So they had some 40-year-olds in the group that exercised. There was a control group that didn't do anything. They just stayed as couch potatoes. And the other people in the group started to exercise. There were some 40-year-olds who started exercising, and eventually, mentally, they started testing as though they were 10 years younger. So it literally took 10 years off the life of their brain. They started testing like they were 30 years old, mentally. There were some 60-year-olds in the group. Once they started exercising, their brains started acting like they were only 40. So anyways, that our health, our physical health, has a lot to do with our brain health. So that makes sense. Another study found that people who were in bad health when they were younger, when they were 18 to 30 years old, if they had high blood pressure, blood sugar is very high cholesterol, they actually score really bad on cognitive tests when they're in their 40s and 50s compared to people who are healthy when they're young adults. So this is why you got to start early. So it's never too early to start. Good physical health can pay off in the future. Also, another thing you can do, just a couple quick things, challenge your mind. A lot of people, as they get older, they stop reading, they stop challenging their brains. I'm constantly hearing about these scholars, these biblical scholars, who every day they will read the New Testament in Greek. Okay, now I'm not saying you necessarily have to pick up biblical Greek, Koine Greek, but just knowing another language, sometimes learning another language, they say, can really help establish some connections between different parts of your brain that might have been getting frayed over time. You can kind of rejig your brain a little bit. So sometimes challenging yourself mentally can help maintain your memory, improve your thinking skills. There's more research needed on this front, but the journal Neurology on July the 14th, so this just came out last month, they did a study involving almost 2,000 people who were 80 years old on average, and they did not have dementia when the study started. So they monitored these guys for 7 years. They were all 80 when they started, so they're 87 when they're done. During this 7-year period, 457 of them developed Alzheimer's disease. But the ones who stayed mentally active, they were like doing things like writing letters to people, they were doing puzzles, they were playing card games, they were reading, they were just trying to keep their brain active in different ways. They had a 5-year delay in the onset of Alzheimer's disease. So it's never too late, it's never too early to start doing some of these things that can prevent this, and it's also never too late. Even in your 80s, you can start getting a little bit more mentally active. And one more thing, apparently colorful foods like flavonoids, and they're widely touted as powerful antioxidants that can help keep the mind sharp. Apparently it's very good to eat these things. And there needs to be, again, more studies done on this. It's not a for sure locked in connection here. But again, at the end of the month in Neurology, there's new research that was published that found that people who eat at least half a serving per day of food that has a lot of flavonoids in it, they have a 20% lower risk of mental decline, of cognitive decline, compared to those who consume few flavonoids. So you might be asking, what are foods that are high in flavonoids? Well, basically anything that has a lot of color in it, apples, blackberries, blueberries, celery, cherries, grapefruits, oranges, pears, peppers, strawberries. So apparently the best effect and the most protective effect for your brain come through yellow and orange fruits and vegetables, which contain high levels of a particular flavonoid called flavones or flavones. I don't know how it's pronounced, but anyway, so there you go. So definitely go for the yellow and orange fruits and vegetables, but keep a lot of color on your plate. So these are powerhouses. They can help you to keep your brain sharp, keep your thinking skills from declining. So again, overall physical health is important. Getting proper sleep, getting proper exercise, getting proper diet, nutrition, all the things we have to do. We know we have to do, and sometimes we don't always do them because we let other things get in the way. And putting a lot of color on your plate, keeping your brain sharp, everything adds up to trying to stave off this mental decline, this cognitive decline. Now, this will not guarantee that you won't get dementia, but you at least can have some control over your mind as you age. And it's part of, again, good stewardship of the gifts that God has given you, because we want to serve Him for longer and better in His service. It's never too late to start. It's never too early to start. So I just found that an interesting article, Producer Lucas, and I know I need to sharpen up some of these things. I know I need to sleep better, eat better, exercise more. I'll admit it, during the pandemic, I've had the odd beverage, let's say that, you know, at night after the show. And so, do I get drunk? No, drunkenness is a sin. But you know, all this stuff, maybe just a little bit too much. We need to get back on track. I find that the end of August, beginning of September, it's not like the beginning of the year, but it kind of feels like the beginning of a new year all the time to me, because it's the beginning of the school year. It's kind of, things are fresh again. People are back from their summer vacation. It's kind of a new start. It's a good time to do it. It's a good time to do it. Okay, so let's go to the phones right now. Actually, we've got a caller named Joanne who's calling from Portland, Maine. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Cale. This is a great opportunity. You really are doing a good service to your listeners by passing along all this information. I'm a nurse, and what you said is spot on. I'm calling from Maine, which is blueberry capital of the world, so lots of flavonoids here. What you said is true, but I think Padre Pio said it best, pray, hope, and don't worry.
Mm. Yep. Well, I think a lot of stress, you know, that's one thing that wasn't in the article, was the effect of stress. Well, I guess it was in there, hypertension. That's basically stress. And pray, hope, and don't worry. Yeah, we worry a lot, don't we? I know I do.
Well, you know, and you're right about stress, because that increases what they call cortisol, which is an inflammatory process. And that is one of the reasons people stroke at an early age or have a heart attack. And I read an article similar to what you read about, and it tells you that your brain is really plastic, and it's recommended to really stretch it, learn a new language, take your computer mouse and use it in your non-dominant hand, try brushing your teeth with your non-dominant hand, do something for someone else that gives you a boost of endorphins, volunteer, have some purpose in your life. And I just found out recently it's recommended to get a baseline hearing test from an audiologist, because you can start to lose subtle the treble tones, the high tones. Mm-hmm. So you start losing differentiation of consonants, like P's and T's. And that started happening to me, and I was like, what's going on? Sure enough. So it's all about maintenance, Cale.
Yeah, it's like a 67 Chevy, right? You know, you got to constantly bring it
to
the shop.
Right.
And no, I think that's really important. And I like what you said about the brain being really plastic, and you got to stretch it. Mm-hmm. You got to stretch it. And like you said, learning a new instrument, learning a new language. I'm going to try to brush my teeth left-handed tonight and see what happens. But you know,
we had to do that in nursing school. We had to be blindfolded, led around by one of our colleagues, and you had to brush your teeth with the opposite hand. We had to do all kinds of things. It's amazing when your eyesight isn't there helping you along.
Yeah.
But I really think that the pandemic has really taken its toll. So now we really have to get back in training and do all these extra things to get back on track.
I think you're right, Joanne. And may I say to you and all the other nurses who are listening, thank you for all you do. My mom's a nurse too, so I know the sacrifices that you make. My mom's really old school. Like she even wears the old Florence Nightingale linens, right? And so some of her older clients, when I see her, they love it. They're like, wow. It's like,
I just passed my 50th reunion in Boston Children's Hospital School of Nursing. Yes,
well, happy
anniversary. I'm right there with your mother. Well, thank you. I'm not clinically working any longer, but nonetheless, once a nurse, always a nurse. Your mother will attest to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. Well, God bless you and all the nurses who are so key during this terrible pandemic that we've all been going through. So God bless you, Joanne. Thanks for calling in. Really appreciate that.
Thank you, Cale.
You got it. Thanks for listening. Joanne in Portland, Maine. Yeah, so this is, our body's a gift. We've got to take care of it. We've got to look after it. I know I have to do a better job. But really, God created us to be body-soul unities. And wants to build up our soul and our body as best we can. And I'm looking forward to the resurrection body, that's for sure. There's no fitness club in the world that'll make me look as good as I will then. And we all will look good in heaven. We got to get through the cornfield first, right? The field of dreams. So enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So appreciate it. Lucas Holt produced as usual, did another great job. Patrick Alog, listening to your calls. And he said, Patrick Alog says, a caller called in off air, said, put a spoon of coconut oil in your coffee. It's supposed to help. All right, might give it a try. Well, I hope this has been a jolt to your evening. Glad you're with me. See you next time. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.